6:44, welcome back. Ryan Pinder alongside Peter Klein and Logan Gordon, the late August All-Stars. Time for our weekly chat with the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, Dave Dickinson. Coach, this would be like, what would it be, preseason week A. That's what the radio roster looks like in the last week of August. So we apologize, but we'll do our best, okay?
Well, that's the way it goes. I guess that's all I can, get on these days is preseason radio shows.
Hey, normally when a team does a clean sweep of the weekly awards, other teams and fan bases will be up in arms. I don't know that you're going to get that this week from the rest of the CFL after the monster performances you got from Bo Levi Mitchell, Kamar Jordan, as well as Jagarrett Davis. What a second half for your football club at McMahon on Saturday.
Yeah, it was just a good game. It really was. It was back and forth, some highs and lows. We had good fans, though. It was a nice afternoon game. Love afternoon games. And, like you said, we picked it up, had some great performances, and kind of put her away late.
The talking point seemingly on Sunday, Monday, was how did Bo Levi Mitchell not have a 400-yard game? Did that one catch you by surprise, or did you know that ahead of time that he had not accomplished that before Saturday?
I heard that. I was surprised as well. I think probably just his coach didn't free him up, you know, let him rip it. So, it is surprising, even though a lot of times I do think your biggest numbered games are your sometimes when you get the most yards and all that, a lot of times you lose.
Yeah.
Because you're behind early by a lot and you're just chucking it. And ultimately, those sometimes are your biggest numbered games. And obviously, he doesn't have a lot of games where he loses.
Yeah, this is what I think we called the Blake Bortles effect a few years ago. Jacksonville was down by a billion every week, and then he would throw 200 yards in the fourth quarter. But maybe that's a reference for a different interview. Hey, it's Labor Day week. This is exciting. Late start for practice, but my goodness, does this get the juices going? And I am sure this brings back many, many memories for you facing Edmonton at home on Labor Day.
It does. I mean, the juices are going, though. We're right in the middle of it, and we like what we're doing, but we understand as soon as you start thinking you're too good, you just get sat down, and that's happened 2 weeks ago. We bounced right back, though, and had a great game. We're looking forward to the challenge. Edmonton is right second behind us in the West, so we understand that. Win at home. And that's the biggest challenge on Labor Day rematches and all that, where you go back-to-back with people, is you really got to work hard to win at home. You do that, you feel like you maybe steal one on the road. That's the plan. That's the template we try to live by. So we know we got a big challenge, though. They ultimately got tons of weapons, a real good team, and they enjoy coming in here. So we'll see how it goes.
How concerned are you about Devon Claybrooks? Can you give us an update? It's scary when you hear someone's in hospital dealing with something when it's unexpected. Give us the latest.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the update. I mean, as far as I know, we've all been up to visit him. He's looking pretty good, actually. His energy's back. His personality's back. And I think you'll see him this week, at least here. And always good for Devon to talk for himself on health issues. But we'd be lying if we say we didn't miss him, and we enjoy having him around. He's a great coach, but our other guys did step up, a tribute to our staff. But Devon's on the right track. He is definitely getting healthy. I know he wants to get the heck out of the hospital and get over here. And, I would be surprised if we didn't see him in the near future.
And it didn't seem like your defense missed a beat. I mean, what a performance in the second half on Saturday. That was a three-point lead, 15-12 at the half, and they really didn't get a sniff until late when it was already over. Other than that, I think just a field goal. I mean, that was what I thought was the turning point. You got stops the whole second half, it seemed.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, we were finding our way a little bit that first half. That's to be expected. We gave up a big play on our second and one, which we should have had our spidey senses ready to go anyway. I mean, second and under a yard, you got to expect something to happen. We kind of played soft, and that's our defense, I think, was just kind of trying to figure out exactly what our identity was going to be with Brent Monson calling the plays. And, settled in well, and like I said, had some good leadership, tackled super well. To hold Andrew Harris down and tackle like we did, that tribute to the guys means they're committed and finding out tendencies and ways to stop them. So, obviously, another good game.
Jameer Thurman's a guy who just continued to show up, tackles all over the place. I recall him having some monster performances last year as well. What have you got there in the young linebacker?
Yeah, I thought he had probably his best game of the year. Like you said, even on special teams too, he's playing quite a bit on special teams and starting and playing the whole game on defense. You know, we're a little bit light on special teams right now. We're trying to find the right combination of guys, so Thurm has jumped in there. But no, I had a great game, very consistent. But I thought, you know, like you said, one-on-one tackles, he always brought him down. And obviously, I think he's only going to get better, too. So he's only really in his a year and a half with us, and I really like what he's doing for us.
We usually try to get an injury update from you. Is that going to be tough to do this week, given that I think you, what, get back to practice today?
Yeah, we're back at it today. I mean, we made it out pretty good, though. We've got some guys banged up, but I don't think it's anything too serious. So hoping to have just about the same roster out there on the field. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to get any reinforcements, but, you know, we got Don Jackson back, which I thought was good for us. And he looked a little rusty, but I think he will improve and get back to where he's going to get to. And DB-wise, we think we're hurting a little bit, but I think we'll have about the same group in there. So it's a physical game, but when you play fast and you play seems to be the aggressor, a lot of times you're able to stay a little bit more injury-free.
Dave Dickinson joining us on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Second game in a row, you guys play in the live mic game. This week, the mics pick up you yelling at the officials a few times to get the clock moving. Were you ever given an explanation as to why it took so long to get that clock rolling when you were rather aggressively requesting it to start?
They're pretty good to me, actually. I like Andre's crew. I don't want it to sound like I bitch all the time, but, you know, I do think there's communication. They don't always give me my way, which is probably the right way to do it. But, you know what, for me, it's like I think I believe that the refs were allowing Winnipeg to have too much time to make up their mind on a decision. And they do hold the clock if you're switching personnel and that sort of stuff, but you know, for me, it's like, come on, let make them make a decision. You know, we're not going to just hold this clock and let you guys go through your analytics and figure it out. And we had the lead. I wanted that clock rolling, and it seemed like they held it for, you know, 15, 20 seconds one time before they blew it in, and certainly would have liked to have seen it blown in quicker. But just me working the refs didn't work in my favor. I believe that, you know, sometimes, though, you got to make sure they know you're on the sideline and that you're trying to hold them accountable, and usually that, for us, helps us kind of get the calls we need to get called.
Yeah, just more on the live mic thing real quick. How much changes because of that? And maybe you've been asked this before, but just remind us, because you don't want to give away your language, but you still need to be able to communicate.
We've done more changes than ever, and it's okay, but, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, when you get into something, you're used to it, and then you change it. And then the heat of the battle, it's very easy to sometimes forget that you've switched. But we'll do it again. We have to because of the back-to-backs and people picking up signals and people picking up our terminology and verbiage. And it's not a big deal except that, you know, snap count. And then anytime you're doing, like, fast football where you're trying to yell out the plays at the line of scrimmage, there's definitely advantages that the defense can gain, you know. And then, you know, as coaches, you're always like, well, let's use that same word and run a different play. And we're thinking, you know, same thing. We've tried some of that, actually. And sometimes one of our guys will run the play, previous play that was called. So it's almost like we're not sure it's even helping us. So it's a bit of a challenge. I'm not sure what the fans think about it. I would be interested to hear. Because as coaches, it's not really something that we like. But, you know, if it is generating interest and people are paying attention and seems like talking about the CFL, I do think that's a good thing. But I guess we'll see. I don't know. I haven't heard if the ratings spike or anything like that. So I guess I'm an interested bystander on that.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd see a rating spike, but I like it. I don't know that you'd want it all the time. But it's a window to a world that you don't have access to as a fan. So it's like, whoa, okay. Like, even just to hear people like yourself or Bo run through some of the verbiage, just the words and how that would, I mean, for a lot of casual football fans, that's all brand new. So it's just a different dimension to the sport that the casual fan doesn't see.
Yeah, I personally feel like I coach exactly the same way whether I have it on or not. And I think the rest of the coaches or most of the other coaches don't. I think they try to hide what they're doing, and they, you know, their mic, and they're not talking as much, and they're not trying to give stuff away. And ultimately, I'm trying to do the best job I can. I don't care what you guys hear as far as I'll figure it out. But I do think it's a disadvantage to the coaches that are calling the plays. You know, do I really, you know, Wally Buono, or if I'm looking out there, even Mike O'Shea, I mean, he's just talking a little bit of strategy, but not necessarily calling the actual play. So I think I've heard, I've heard some things that have got on there that I don't want on there, but I guess it's just part of the business.
Last one on the mics. When you were requesting the clock start running with the officials, there was a point where the mic cut off, but you were very clearly still yelling. Is that self censorship? Is that TSN on the mute button? How did that one work?
Like I said, I don't go any different than I do. So what you see is what you get, and yeah, they did. I think the very first live mic game, they put like an X rating on it or something, because I had my kids and I were watching it, and we muted it. It was too much.
There was some sort of a Justin Bieber blast, I recall, earlier this year that was used by one team.
Yeah, I'm not as sure exactly on the beat, but I do know that, you know, that's the same thing. I asked my kids to talk to a certain standard, and I want respect and all that. And then you get out on a football field, and I got to remember that it's still a big field, and it's got an open air stadium. But probably could keep it a little cleaner at times. But just kind of, I don't know, you revert back to kind of like who you are, and sometimes I have a tendency to let a few words slip.
Well, maybe what you need to do is bring some of the rules and regulations of the house into the office. You could just have a swear jar on your desk, maybe, Dave.
Be very full. It's funny because I don't swear at all, like at home, basically. I do swear on the golf course, though, so I guess maybe it's the open air. Maybe it's the open air that gets me.
You're allergic to open air, Dave. I figured it out. Final one for you from me. Do you have a favorite Labor Day Classic memory as a member of the Stampeders? As a quarterback, I should say, as the coach.
I mean, I have actually, it's so weird because of the games I remember the best as the ones that got away. And that's sad because you should remember the ones that you've had the highlights and you crushed people. But the one for me was 99. I'm kind of messing with an injury, but we end up playing Edmonton, of course, going down the goal line on the 1 yard line. We decide to go for it. We're down 33-30. We take Mike got out of the game. Mike McCoy comes in. He scores. They say they called a timeout, so they make us run the play again. We don't score. We lose last play of the game. That one is just ingrained. Of course, and I think it was like, remember the old turf? I think it was like literally almost 40 on that turf because it's hot as heck. and put everything into that game, you know. And then obviously as a quarterback, I know Bo gets frustrated too, but you get taken out of the game for those short yards and you don't make it. That was a backbreaker. We went back up and whooped them, though, the next week. So, I guess it kind of played out fine. But that game, to me, was kind of what Labor Day is all about, back and forth, and then it can come down to that one play. Ultimately, it didn't go our way.
Out here, we know you as a member of the Stampeders, and obviously this weekend has great importance to us. You also spent some time with the Lions, who don't necessarily have a traditional Labor Day foe, all due respect to Montreal. What is this weekend like for someone who's not in one of the main Labor Day weekend rivalries?
Just feels like regular season. It's you're right, it wasn't great. You didn't have that same feel. And the other thing you always talk about is you got to pick up your game after Labor Day. Once Labor Day starts, that's when you got to catch your momentum. We've always, you know, most of the time had nice starts, so we don't feel like probably as desperate, or the urgency is not as sometimes as extreme. And I always feel like that's always a challenge for a player and a coach to make sure that we understand that we need to be playing our best football after Labor Day. And that everyone always says that, and it's true, because if you're peaking after Labor Day and you're rolling through the back half of your season, that's when you usually have your most success. So certainly going to stress that and see. But yeah, it was different. Everything's different on the West Coast, so it's a different pace out there, and ultimately, I still enjoyed it, though. But, yeah, I like having the rival like we have here.
Hey, enjoy a Monday. Hopefully we get you some weather and another afternoon game. Anything like last weekend, everyone will be pumped.
Hey, that's a plan. All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Dave Dickinson, head coach of Calgary Stampeders, our weekly 6:45 visit on a Wednesday.